Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Saints, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News. I am your brother, I am your host, and I go by the moniker Radio Reformer. And I would like to give out the number to this broadcast where Mr. J. Delano Ellis or one of his ministerial associates can call in. The number here is 646-564-9730, 646-564-9730, and we are the one and only Reformation News Broadcast. I'm in studio today because I need to present to you Proposition number 80 as we hasten to complete this 95 thesis, and we are projected to complete it by October the 11th, 20 days before the actual 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, are we scheduled to complete this 95 thesis, tailor-made for the Roman Catholic invasion of the African American church, which has been facilitated by numerous organizations, but the one organization leading the pack is no doubt the Joint College of African American Bishops, headed by the one and only J. Delano Ellis. Mr. Ellis, the number here is 646-564-9730. Mr. Ellis, I would like to talk to you. I'd like to find out your reasons for opening the door to Satan and his demons to the African American church. I would like to know. So we're going to continue to teach and do what we do and wait for Mr. J. Delano Ellis to call. We won't hold our breath because thus far we have presented 79 propositions and he has not answered not one of them. Well, let's go to proposition number 80. Let me read it to you. And it says, like Cain, the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops has failed to be his brother's keeper. He has failed. He has failed miserably to be his brother's keeper. His brother's keeper. Well, where do I get that from? Well, you get it from the Bible. That's where I get this proposition from Scripture. And what we've been doing since proposition number 72, we have been talking about, how Mr. J. Delano Ellis, in so many spiritual ways, mirrors Cain, C-A-I-N. How Mr. J. Delano Ellis, in so many spiritual ways, he mirrors Adam and Eve's firstborn son, the apostate known as Cain. Well, like Cain, I argue, and I scripturally argue, I scripturally argue that the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops, which is a useless organization, it is useless to church, but very useful to Satan. How the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops has failed to be his brother's keeper. Now, why do I make that statement? Well, the Lord says to Cain, and we can read this in verse number 9, in Genesis 4:9. And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? Technically, we're all shepherds one of another. We're all supposed to be watching out for one another. We're all supposed to be protecting one another. We're all supposed to be on guard for the benefit of one another. God says to Cain, and there is some argument, there is some theologians who think that Cain and Abel were twins. Some argue that based on the language of Genesis chapter 4, and let's go there for a moment it says, and Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bore his brother Abel. Now notice, it doesn't say in Abel's case that Adam knew his wife Eve again and that she conceived again. Notice, it seems that out of one conception, you have Cain and then you have Abel. That's the argument that they make, that the author of Genesis does not say after Cain gave birth to Abel, or rather after Adam and Eve, after Eve gave birth to Cain, after Eve gave birth to Cain, the scholars argue that Adam did not know his wife again. That language is not repeated, and that she conceived, that's not repeated. It simply states, and she again bore his brother Abel. So some scholars would argue that Adam and Eve were twins and that they had a tight relationship. They had a tight relationship, as all twins do. All twins have a very tight relationship. It is highly unusual for twins not to have each other's back, or for twins not to like each other, or for twins to despise one another. Now you do have a biblical case between Esau and Jacob, but for the most part, twins are very close. They're very close knit because they were close in the womb. They were close in the womb. So the Lord says to Cain, where is Abel thy brother? You're supposed to be watching over your brother. He, in fact, Cain is older. So I remember when I used to go out into the neighborhood and my brother would tag along and my mother would say, you watch your brother, you're older. You keep an eye on that little guy. And I would say to her, yes, Mom. And then I would look at him and give him the look of death because I didn't want my brother hanging out with me. But he would tag along. He would always find a way to tag along. I didn't want him with me. But I had several brothers. They would all find a way to tag along, even when I didn't want them to be around. Even when I thought they were the odd man out. Who wants a little brother around? A little brother who's going to snitch and tell your girlfriend what you're really like at home. No, nobody wants a little brother around. Mm-mm. So, but when I used to go out, my father would say, you watch that little guy, you're the older, and he would tell my brother, you listen to your brother, he's older than you, he's in charge. So God says to Cain, where is Abel? Where is he? Aren't you supposed to be watching over him? He's your younger sibling. Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. That's a lie. He knew where he was. He buried him in the ground. He says, I know not. And then with a snooty reply, he poses this question to God. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's overseer? Am I my brother's bishop? For the Hebrew word samar, S-A-M-A-R, if you transliterate from the Hebrew letters to the English, samar means one who watches carefully over another. Am I my brother's bishop? Am I my brother's pastor? Am I his overseer? Again, the Hebrew word samar speaks of one who watches carefully over another. One who has the oversight over another. And this person who is responsible for being the keeper is to keep his eyes on another. This person is to protect the other party, to keep an eye out for. Oh, keep an eye out for your brother. Protect your brother. You know, the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. This is why the Bible, in particular St. Peter, in his first epistle, the second chapter, the 25th verse, says that we have returned to the bishop of our souls, being Jesus. Jesus has the oversight of our souls. But here God says to Cain, where's your brother Abel? You were in charge of one little lamb. You were in charge of one little lamb. Where is thy brother Abel? Did you lose that little lamb? Did you lose him? And Cain replies, he turns around with a snotty attitude, and he says to God, am I my brother's bishop? Am I his overseer? Was I the one designated to keep an eye out for my brother? Am I the one who is to watch over him and carefully watch over him? And of course, God's reply is yes. So, my contention is, like Cain, the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops has failed to be his brother's keeper. Failed miserably. Now, please note, seven times does the Bible reference Abel as Cain's brother. Seven times in Genesis chapter 4. Let's go to Genesis 4:2. Genesis 4:2, you have the first mention. It says, and she, referring to Eve, again bore his brother Abel. That's the first time you have the term his brother, referring to Cain's brother. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 8, it says, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. That's the second mention, And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. That's the third mention of his brother. The third. In Genesis 4:9, you have two more mentions. It says, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? That's mentioned number four. And he replied, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? That is what? That is mention number five. My brother's keeper. See, his brother, thy brother, my brother. So again, you have it mentioned once in Genesis 4:2. You have it mentioned twice in Genesis 4:8. Twice in Genesis 4:9. And then in Genesis 4:10, you have the sixth mention. And God said, what have you done? The voice of thy brother's blood, that's the sixth mention, crieth unto me from the ground. And the seventh and final mention is found in Genesis 4:11. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which have opened up her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. That's the seventh mention. So yes. We have brethren. We do have brethren. We have the brotherhood of man, and we have the brotherhood of those who belong to the household of faith. Now it so happens that Mr. J. Delano Ellis claims to be a bishop. In fact, he claims even more than that. He claims to be an archbishop. He claims to be a bishop of bishops. In other words, Mr. J. Delano Ellis claims to be an overseer of overseers. Pretty much like Jesus is the King of Kings and Jesus is the Lord of Lords, Mr. J. Delano Ellis claims to be the bishop of bishops. So Mr. J. Delano Ellis, according to the definition, the Hebrew definition of shamar, to be a keeper means to watch over someone. But it just doesn't mean to watch over. It means to carefully watch over someone, to carefully watch over another, to keep one's eye on another. How many times were we at the beach with my parents, and my mother and father would say, we're going to the car to get some things. You stay here at the beach, they would say to me, and you keep an eye out on your brothers and sisters and make sure none of them get lost while we're gone. How many times did I have to keep my eyeballs peeled over those little runts, over those little rugrats? Oh, it doesn't feel good being the firstborn. Oh, they put so much responsibility on you. When they go out, they say, hey, make sure your brothers and sisters don't make a mess of the house while we're gone. Me, little old me. They put that responsibility on me to make sure the little Frankensteins they gave birth to didn't create havoc of the house. Well, they were little Frankensteins. And they would put that burden on me to keep an eye on them. I was their overseer. I always had to watch out. I had to carefully watch this one and that one. I had to watch the boys and the girls. So God says to Mr. J. Delano Ellis, where is the black church? Where is the black church? If J. Delano Ellis is the Archbishop Metropolitan and he oversees a great portion of the African-American Pentecostal Church, the Lord will say to J. Delano Ellis, where's the black church? Where's the black? Where's the African-American? Where's the Negro Pentecostal Church? Because I can't find it. Where is it? Now, God knows exactly where it is. God knows exactly where it is. It's been hijacked. It's been given a makeover. Nobody would recognize God's church because God's church never had vestments. God's church never had pointy hats. God's church was never immersed in Roman Catholic doctrines of demons and commandments of men. Never was the Lord's church immersed in such rubbish. But this is Jay Delano's doing. He's brought that junk into the African-American church. And the Lord says, where is the black church, Archbishop Metropolitan? And no doubt Mr. Jay Delano Ellis, Mr. Snooty Man himself, will reply to the Lord, am I my brother's keeper? Well, if you have the title of Archbishop Metropolitan, you bet your booties you're in charge. But he's not in charge because the Lord never put him in charge. He put himself in charge. He put himself in charge. He placed himself in charge. Where's the black church? Where's the African-American Pentecostal church, Mr. Ellis? Where is the pure Pentecostal church? What have you done to her? Why is she dressed like a harlot? Why is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is supposed to be a chaste virgin, why does she dress like a harlot, and why is she in bed with Rome? Why, Mr. Ellis, weren't you supposed to be keeping an eye? Isn't that what Paul said? Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians? Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Because this is what the Apostle Paul was doing. I don't know what J. Delano Ellis was doing. Well, I do know what he was doing. He was on his way from New York to Philadelphia to go get some vestments and insignia. That's what he was doing. But the Apostle Paul said of the Corinthians, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. In other words, I'm your spiritual chaperone, and I got my eyes peeled. I'm your keeper. I'm supposed to make sure that you stay a chaste virgin, that nobody tampers with you. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espouse you, or I have betrothed you, or I have engaged you to one husband, that I may present you to him, to Christ, as a chaste virgin. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his craftiness, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Oh, that snake is crafty. Oh, Satan is crafty. Oh, he slithers. That's why you got to keep your eyeballs peeled. Because he's looking for a way to isolate the people of God, to con them, to offer them elevation. And it's easy for the devil to have his way when he's got a cane. A cane who opens the door and says, come on in, everybody's sleeping. Come on in. So, if J. Delano Ellis is an archbishop, which means, and I don't, listen, he's not only an archbishop, but he's a metropolitan. I mean, he's a big shot. But you know what I find? I find that all of these big shots really don't watch over anything. I mean, look at the Pope. John Paul II was supposed to be the greatest thing since Christ. Think about this. John Paul II, he was the same guy that J. Delano Ellis went to Rome so many times to kiss his fanny. That guy, John Paul II, the same guy that J. Delano Ellis kissed his fanny when he was alive and kissed his fanny when he was dead. That guy, John Paul II, under his bishopric, because he's the bishop of Rome, under his bishopric, more kids were molested than ever before. Cardinal Ratzinger, the rat face, who became Pope Benedict XVI, that guy had to resign because he could not manage the pedophilia scandal. And this guy, Pope Francis, Mr. Global Warming, this guy, instead of, listen, Mr. Pope, stop talking about global warming and deal with your pedophilia outbreak. Every other day there's another high official of Rome getting arrested for child pornography. The higher the titles, the bigger the bishoprics they have, the less they see. It's the blind leading the blind. They're like the monkeys. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. But there's a lot of evil. Boy, is there a lot of evil. So here is J. Delano Ellis. He's supposed to have his eyeballs peeled. If anybody's got to have his eyeballs peeled, it's J. Delano Ellis. I mean, he's supposed to be a bishop, but not just a bishop. He's a metropolitan. I mean, after that, you become pope. I mean, you have a shot to be pope. You've got a real legitimate shot to be pope once you hit the plateau of metropolitan archbishop. I mean, you're up there. You're in rarefied air. The prince of the power of the air has got you floating on rarefied air. But the higher these people go, the less they see. J. Delano Ellis is no overseer. He's no overseer. What did Jesus say to Peter in John chapter 21? John 21. Because J. Delano Ellis is going to argue that he loves Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. I love me some Jesus. And the number here, Mr. Ellis, is 646-564-9730. Again, Mr. Ellis, this is for you. The number here, you have an exclusive direct hotline, 646-564-9730. Well, I love me some Jesus is what Mr. Ellis is going to say. Oh, you love Jesus? Well, let's hear what Jesus has to say to all those ministers and so-called bishops who claim to love him. So when Jesus and Peter had dined, Jesus said, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? And I'm reading from verse 15 of chapter 21 of the Gospel of John. Do you love me more than these? And he said unto him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus said unto him, feed my lambs. Feed my what? My new converts. And he said unto him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. He said unto him, feed my sheep. Now, this word feed just doesn't mean to stuff them with hay. It just doesn't mean to give them oats and a little bit of corn, not too much corn, because you don't want them to get bloated. And don't forget to give them the sheep their mineral block, their salt mineral blocks, and all of the nutrients that they need. Feed my sheep. It just doesn't mean to get them fat. But it also means to protect them. Get them nice and healthy, but protect them. Don't get them fat so that the wolves can eat them. You get them fat so that they can enjoy life, and by the same token, protect them from the wolves. The word feed, poimiano, means do all around shepherding. Do the whole job of a shepherd. And a shepherd just doesn't feed. A shepherd feeds and protects. Peter, do you love me? Yes. Then be a keeper of the flock. Keep the brethren. Be a keeper. Yes, you're to be your brother's keeper. You're to be your brother's keeper. You're to be your brother's keeper. That's what you, if you love me. Now, J. Delano Ellis would argue that he loves the Lord, and I would say to him, how could you love the Lord if you're misleading the sheep? If you're leading the sheep to the very mouth of hell, if you're leading the sheep under the ecumenical tent of Rome, how can you love the Lord and love the sheep and be a true bishop if you are the Pied Piper leading the sheep to the eternal slaughter? Well, what does the Apostle Paul say to the bishops of Ephesus? To the elders of Ephesus, to the pastors of Ephesus. What does he say to them in Acts chapter 20? Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the flock of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. So you see, what does he say? He says, be pastors, oversee the flock, feed the flock, watch over the flock. Why? Because when you get them fat, then come the wolves. Verse 31, he says, therefore watch and remember, watch, be a keeper. And you know what happens to people who are keepers? They keep all those entrusted to them, they lose none. You see, when you're a true keeper, when you're a diligent keeper, you keep all those entrusted to you. If you get 100 sheep and the shepherd comes back, you can say, here's 100. I didn't lose any because I kept the flock. I kept the flock. So J. Delano Ellis, despite his highfalutin title of Metropolitan Archbishop, he keeps no one. He keeps no brethren. In fact, he is leading them astray. He is leading them right to Satan's spiritual slaughterhouse. And how is he doing that, you say? I told you that there's two ways of looking at Cain. One way is that Cain spiritually murders souls. And that, secondly, he physically destroys bodies. We see this in Cain. We saw how he killed. He really spilled his brother's blood. That was not figurative language. No, that was literal. Cain did actually cut Abel, his brother's throat. He destroyed Abel's body. He killed Abel. He took his life. And then Cain spiritually destroyed those who followed him when he left the presence of God. He led people away from the Lord. All those people who left the presence of the Lord and joined Cain in his rebellious departure, all those were lost forever. So there's two ways in which Cain kills. He can kill the body, and that's what Jesus said. Fear not him who can destroy the body. Fear him who can destroy both body and soul. So I said in a previous proposition that J. Delano Ellis has killed no one physically. I made that clear. To date, he has killed no one. Come Antichrist, whoever is the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops will follow the order that Antichrist will give to slaughter the saints. But that has not yet happened because Antichrist is not here. Bloody Antichrist is not yet here. But what the Cains of today are doing is they are destroying souls before they actually get the order to destroy bodies. That's what they're doing. See, it's in reverse. It's in reverse. The first Cain killed bodies first, then destroyed souls secondly when many left with him as he himself departed from the presence of the Lord. So he first killed Cain, Abel. Now it's the reverse. Today, the Cains of today are actually destroying the souls by misleading them away from the Lord, and then come the tribulation period, the Cains will, following the orders of the Antichrist, then those Cains will have the bodies destroyed. They will start out on a massive persecution campaign. So it's reversed. But they will do both, because that's what the scriptural mirror projects. So Mr. J. Delano Ellis has not kept, he has not kept the souls that supposedly were entrusted to him. Because I don't believe that he was ever called. That he was a satanic plant from the beginning. That's my opinion. Now, let us go to another scripture. Let us go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, chapter 2. Because J. Delano Ellis claims to be a successor of Christ and the apostles. J. Delano Ellis claims that him and his band of bogarty bishops there at the Joint College are the actual successors of Christ and the apostles. Well, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And it says in verse number 25, "For we were as sheep going astray." That's all of us before our conversion. "But are now, since our conversion, returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls." We've returned to Christ. A bishop is a guardian. A bishop is a keeper. A bishop doesn't, Jesus said, "Those whom the Father has given me, no one can pluck them out of my hands. Those whom the Father has given me, I've kept them all, save one who was a devil from the beginning." Speaking of Judas Iscariot. "Father, all those you gave me, I kept. I am a keeper of souls," said Jesus. So anyone who follows in the footsteps of Jesus is his brother's keeper. But I have argued that J. Delano Ellis, like Cain, is not his brethren's keeper, and that he is reckless with the souls that have been entrusted to him. Again, and I'm using that term, that have been entrusted to him, because I don't believe God entrusted him with anything, but some way, somehow, he wiggled himself into those positions of power and has given himself the title of Metropolitan Archbishop, which is super bishop. But he's no super bishop, for he has not kept any. He's even leading his own family. His own family believes in the junk he preaches. Just like Cain. Cain led his wife astray. Did you know that? Cain led his wife, led his children astray. Cain couldn't even watch out for their souls. What kind of a bishop could Cain be when God said to him, listen, watch out for your soul, because Satan is standing at the door waiting for you to open it, and he'll pounce on you and you will fulfill his desires. Cain couldn't even watch his soul. Neglected to watch over the souls of his wife and his children, and neglected to watch over the souls of all those who followed him. Yet, this Cain was viewed as a great patriarch and leader. Jesus said, Father, all those you gave me, I have kept. I have not lost one. Not lost one. This is why in the parable of the lost sheep, he says he put the 99 in a safe place and went after the one that was lost and brought it back. He has a perfect record of not losing sheep, because he is the shepherd and keeper. See, the word shepherd is pastor. He's the pastor and bishop or keeper or guardian or inspector of our soul. Now, how could Jay Delano Ellis claim to be in love with Jesus and even claim to be a bishop of Jesus if he doesn't mimic Jesus and the apostles? Jesus said to Peter, if you love me, prove it by keeping the little lambs and by keeping the mature saints. Keep the lambs, keep the sheep. Now, how can I argue? Well, let's go to the audio tape. Let's go to the audio. Here is Jay Delano Ellis, and he's going to ordain this bishop. And in ordaining this bishop, he sells her a lie. He tells her that now she has an episcopal ring, she's a bishop now, and this is how the people ought to salute her. Now, what the woman that he's ordaining doesn't understand is that he, Jay Delano Ellis, does not love her soul. Because he's turned her into a Nehushtan. She's allowed herself to be bamboozled, hoodwinked, into thinking everything Jay Delano Ellis is peddling her. He has done this woman great damage. She's been drinking the Kool-Aid. And now she thinks she's something special, and now she's got to extend her hand. And when she extends her hand, her church members must come up and kiss the ring finger. That's idolatry. He's turned her into an idol, and he's turned the members into idol worshipers. Do you think as an archbishop, metropolitan, he loves those people's soul? No, he doesn't love. He's damning their souls by putting them on a path of heresy. Here is Jay Delano Ellis. A Cain in this generation.
Her ring, a symbol of government and collegiality with her fellow bishop.
The ring is a symbol of apostasy, and when you read my book, Lesbo Bishoprics, and I am not saying that this woman is a lesbian, by no means. Please don't draw that conclusion. But I will show you that there's a spiritual lesbianism going on in the church, being perpetrated by J. Delano Ellis and others who are ordaining women to the bishopric according to Roman Catholic canon law. See, they are establishing spiritual lesbianism. And I go into great detail because I cite Roman Catholic canon law, and I cite the history books, and I cite the theological books, and I show that it is nothing more than spiritual lesbianism. So he's put this woman on that path. And her congregants are on the same path. And now she's an Nehushtan. She's a human idol made by Satan. And her members, if they kiss the ring, it constitutes them idol worshippers. Well, now what do you have? You have, Paul said, what have the temple of God with idols? Nothing. But this is what J. Delano Ellis, as a 21st century Cain, has introduced into the black church.
She is one among all of us. This is her ring, symbol of authority. And we respect her. Truthfully, you don't really grab a bishop and hug a bishop. Put it on. You get it on. Okay. You respect the bishop by saluting her ring. That's your way of saying, I honor you. You don't just reach your hand out and shake hands with a bishop. You let a bishop extend his or her hand first.
Peace, Bishop.
Ah.
See, this is an indoctrination session among thousands of people that are present. It's a leavening session. They're leavening, they're corrupting, they're perverting the minds of people. This is what this is. He's turned her into a human idol, a human god, and now people must kiss the ring. That's paganism. And I document it in the book, Lesbo Bishoprics. I document it. And there is no arguing against my conclusions. None. My conclusions are ironclad. But here's more.
Oh, I didn't know that. Just read it. How you be? Put your hand down and just speak.
Amen.
And, you know, gentlemen with class know when she extends her hand with that ring, we just simply salute her by kissing the ring. We ain't got to hug and squeeze it and bang her into us. Don't do that. She's a bishop. She's a bishop. Bishop.
In other words, she's a god. Because in the Episcopal Tower of Babel, it's all about achieving what Satan promised Adam and Eve, and that is godhood. That is to storm the gates of heaven without being invited into heaven.
At will, in a minute, you can come and salute her and go back to your seat.
And all of this, my brothers and sisters, is another proof that J. Delano Ellis is leading people astray. That he does not care for their soul. That he is not, he may be a bishop, but that's a fraudulent title because he does not keep anybody. He doesn't watch over anybody. He doesn't provide safety for anybody. Here's another bishop. Here's another jackass bishop he's ordaining. And there's another one drinking J. Delano Ellis's soul-damning Kool-Aid. Here's another one.
From generation to generation. And the two young men on either side, they are his sons. These are his armor bearers. I give you the shepherd's staff in your left hand. In your left.
Now, what is he giving him? The shepherd's staff. Well, what do you do with a shepherd's staff? Well, you keep predators at bay. That's what a shepherd's staff is for. You're able to protect the sheep. If you have a sheep going over a cliff, you can take the crook at the end of it and you can put it around the sheep's neck and bring it right up so it doesn't go off the cliff. But that long pole serves to keep distance between you and the bear, the lion, the hyena. He's giving him a shepherd's staff. But that's all, listen, that's hypocrisy. Because he's giving him a shepherd's staff, but he's not protecting the guy's soul. Nor is this new bishop who has the shepherd's staff in his hand going to protect anybody's soul, because he's been made a Nehushtan also, as you will hear. So what? You got a shepherd's staff. Now people are going to come up and kiss you too. They're going to come up and give you their worship, their adulation, because you've been made into a little god. You're the people's idol now, and they're your idol worshipers. Here's J. Delano Ellis.
They are his sons. These are his armor bearers. I give you the shepherd's staff in your left hand. In your left hand. The only thing you hold in your right hand is the word of God, but you keep your right hand free to bless and free to greet the people, free to receive their respect and their adulation.
Notice what he says. You keep the shepherd's staff in your left hand, but you leave your right hand free so that people can come up and give you their respect and their adulation. Well, you look up the word adulation, it means veneration. It means worship. Come to receive the people's worship. Look it up, folks. Adulation. It's another word for idolization. To give people idol worship. The person that is receiving the praise, the adulation, is the idol. You are the idolater. So on the one hand, he says, hold the shepherd's staff in your left hand, and that's how, you know, you lead the flock, and you leave your right hand open so that you can receive. So you're like a two-face. On the one hand, you're supposed to be a shepherd contending for the faith, defending the sheep, and on the other hand, you're a little god receiving people's worship. Well, what are you? You can't be schizophrenic. You can't have two personalities. Either you're a shepherd leading the flock, feeding the flock, protecting the flock, but you can't be a god. But that's the dual gospel of J. Delano Ellis. That's the leavening gospel of this present-day Cain. You see, he is not his brother's keeper. He doesn't keep these bishops. He doesn't watch over their soul. Now remember, he's the archbishop. He's supposed to be watching over the souls of the bishops under him. But he doesn't watch over their souls. He misleads their souls. And in so doing, he misleads the souls that follow them. How else does J. Delano Ellis, how else does he mislead people? How else does he show us that he's a Cain? Well, in the very same way that Billy Graham showed us that he was Cain. How did Billy Graham show us that he was Cain? By joining Rome. By joining Rome. That's how Billy Graham is a present-day Cain. And what did Billy Graham do? Well, Billy Graham helped Rome whitewash her history, her persecuting history. That's what Billy Graham, he's an accomplice in whitewashing. All of, you know, it's like Cain calling Cain and saying, hey, can you come over and help me clean up this blood? You know, I just killed my brother Abel. Can you come over here and help me clean the blood off the ground? Let's clean the crime scene. That's what Billy Graham did to the Roman Catholic Church. Billy Graham helped the Roman Catholic Church clean up the crime scene. Well, when you join Rome, you become an accomplice. And J. Delano Ellis is leading people to Rome. presenting Rome to be this great church when it's really the heart of church of Revelation 17, who is drunken in the blood of the saints. Here is Dave Hunt telling us how Billy Graham helped clean the crime scene of the Roman Catholic Church. And that's exactly, J. Delano Ellis is doing the same thing.
I was having lunch with a pastor in Philadelphia, I think it was, or somewhere around there. And I was talking about the Albigenses, the Waldenses, the Bogan Mills, and so forth, the Cathari, who the Catholic Church for 1,000 years before the Reformation, they slaughtered the real Christians by the millions. And he said, well, where do you get that information? I said, well, you're not going to get it out of your encyclopedia. Look it up in your encyclopedia. They'll tell you that these were Manichaeans. They believed in the good God, the bad God. They were in ritual suicide. They were immoral and so forth. These are the false accusations of the inquisitors. They didn't tell the truth about them. They lied about them to burn them at the stake, okay, and to slaughter them. It took the popes about a century to wipe out the Albigensians. At one time, this was the most prosperous part of the area of Europe, southern France. These were evangelical Christians, and they wiped them out. The Pope Innocent III, in one crusade, wiped out the entire city of Béziers, 60,000 people, including women and children. These were Albigensians, evangelical Christians. They wiped out or chased out. They killed almost 300,000 Huguenots. I was in South Africa, and I met Huguenot descendants down there, and the rest of them fled, about 500,000. He said, well, where will I find this information? Well, I said, why don't you pull Fox's Book of Martyrs off of your shelf? And he said, well, I don't have a copy. Well, I said, look it up in Halley's Pocket Bible Handbook. Oh, he says, I've got one of those. So he pulled it off the shelf, and he looked in the index. He says, well, there's no Albigenses listed here. There's no Waldenses listed here. Oh, I said, I can explain that to you. You either have a 1962, a 1964, or a 1969 Billy Graham Crusade Special Edition of Halley's Pocket Bible Handbook. They received permission, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association received permission from the Halley family to publish a special Crusade edition of the Pocket Handbook, Bible Handbook, and they took out everything that Halley had so carefully researched of the evil of the popes, the slaughter of the Albigensians, the slaughter of the real Christians. And you got to do a lot of work to do that. You got to change the every page number and every page number in the index and so forth. And I think that's wicked. And I think people ought to know about it. And I hope anybody that's watching me now, call them on the phone or write to the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association in Minneapolis, and you ask them why they did it. And why don't you write to Billy Graham and ask him as well? This is robbing people of facts, of history, that they ought to have in order to pacify a church so that you don't say anything against them. But in not saying anything against them, you are suppressing the truth. And I don't think that's right.
You are aiding and abetting the heart of church and the bloody church, the harlot who loves to drink and who is drunken and who will once again be drunken on the blood of the saints. That's coming. Well, Jude 11 starts by saying this: woe unto them. Woe. That the word woe is a prophetic denunciation. God is blasting. It says, woe unto them. The them include people like J. Delano Ellis. Why? For they have gone in the way of Cain. Woe unto them. Here's a little more as we're winding down this broadcast. Here's Thomas Watson. Thomas, one of the great Puritan writers. One of the great Puritans, Mr. Ellis. And he wrote, he welcomes them to hell. Here's a snippet of Thomas Watson. He welcomes them to hell.
He welcomes them to hell by Thomas Watson. The Prince of this World, John 16, verse 11. The devil has a kingdom. His throne is set up in the hearts of men. Satan does not care for their purses, but their hearts. Satan's empire is very large. Most people in the world pay tribute to him. His kingdom has two characters. Number one, Satan's kingdom is a kingdom of impiety. Nothing but sin goes on in his kingdom. Murder and heresy, lust and treachery, oppression and division are the constant trade driven in his dominions. He is called the unclean spirit. Nothing else but iniquity is propagated in his kingdom. Number two, Satan's kingdom is a kingdom of slavery. He makes all his subjects slaves. The sinner is held captive under the grim tyranny of the devil. Satan is a tyrant, and a worse tyrant than any other. Other tyrants do but rule over the body, but Satan rules over the soul. He rides his captives as we ride upon horses. Other tyrants have some pity on their slaves, though they make them work in the galleys, yet they give them food and let them have their hours for rest. But Satan is a merciless tyrant who gives his slaves poison instead of food and hurtful lusts to feed on. 1 Timothy 6, verse 9. Nor will he let his slaves have any rest. He wearies them out to do his drudgery. They weary themselves to commit iniquity. Jeremiah 9, verse 5. When men have served him to their utmost strength, he welcomes them to hell with fire and brimstone. Thus, he is the worst of tyrants. Men are willing slaves to Satan. They will fight and die for him. Therefore, he is not only called the prince of this world, but the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, to show what power he has over men's souls. Oh, let us pray that they may come to their senses and escape the devil's trap, having been captured by him to do his will. 2 Timothy 2, verse 26.
And this is why the Lord says in verse number 7 of Genesis 4, and he says this to Cain, if you do well, will you not be accepted, Cain? And if you do not do well, sin lieth at the door. Satan is on the other side knocking. And if you open, unto thee shall his desire be, and he shall rule over you. And this is what we just heard from Thomas Watson. So I conclude by reading the proposition one more time. And it reads, like Cain, the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops has failed to be his brother's keeper. Well, Saints, I'll be back tomorrow with proposition number 81. And by October the 11th, we would have all 95 propositions duly recorded. God bless you, Saints. Look forward to talking to you tomorrow.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe, his craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we end? own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He, Lord Sabaoth, His name, from age to age the same, and He must win the battle. We tremble not for him.